I almost don't want to preach. I don't want to interfere with the presence of God because I just feel his presence here today. His power and his grace and his love and his spirit. Hallelujah. Today we're going to look at Psalm 18. Some of the Psalms are short, and some of them are long. And Psalm 18 is one of the longest of all. It's 50 verses long. So I thought we would take it verse by verse over the next 50 weeks. Not. I pondered how to approach this long psalm today, possibly breaking it into various parts and dwelling on it for a few weeks. But as I thought more about it, I think we can summarize the bulk of this psalm and focus on the essence of it. And I hope you've read through it already in preparation for today's message. It's printed for you on the insert of your bulletin. But assuming that some of you did not, here is the summary. King David was thrust into a number of military actions. And this psalm is filled with allusions to that. And it celebrates the fact that God is our great deliverer from our enemies. Verse 3, it says, I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. And David used some very colorful metaphors to describe God's power. For instance, verse 8, it says, smoke rose from his nostrils, consuming fire came from his mouth, burning coals blazed out of it. Can you see this in your mind's eye? Oh my, what a picture. Verse 9, he parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky. Very colorful language indeed. And then there's this. Just as in Psalm 17 that we dealt with last Sunday, David could be misinterpreted with what he said later. In verse 20, he said, the Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not done evil by turning from my God. All his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. I have been blameless before him and have kept myself from sin. Now, we dealt with that kind of language last week in Psalm 17. If you were not here, I encourage you to listen to it online. For now, however, here is a bargain basement summary of all 50 verses of Psalm 18. David was in military distress, and God was his deliverer. Praise his name. We could go home now. Now, applied to you and to me, think of it this way. God has the ability to pull you through any dilemma that life places upon you. I think you know that. I just hope you believe it and you live it. So what are we going to talk about with Psalm 18? As I read it and reread it and I read it again, I was struck with some of the wonderful ways that David described God in this psalm. Some of the wonderful words that he chose to give glory to the Lord. And I want us to focus on that this morning. I want us to feel what David must have felt when he started verse 1 by saying, I love you, O Lord. I love you, O Lord. And I want us to celebrate verse 28, which says, you, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. Now, I selected seven words that David used in this psalm to describe God, and most of them are at the beginning of the psalm, and here is the first one from verse 1. I love you, O Lord, my strength. Now, the first thing that comes to my mind when I think of the word strength is the song from Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 I like to sing it this way. The strength of the Lord is my joy. The strength of the Lord is my joy. I take great excitement in that. When something has strength, the very definition of that is that it has the capacity to withstand great force or pressure. Now apply that to yourself. When the pressures of life overwhelm you, brothers and sisters, do you have the capacity to withstand them? The answer is probably yes. Sometimes. But as we all know, we can be fragile. We are not superheroes like the Marvel Universe has created. We can break. And we can break fairly easily sometimes. We often need strength beyond ourselves. And David reminds us who that is. There's an inspiring story of a group of engineers who wanted to build a new bridge on the East River in New York. They just hit one snag in this building process. They discovered the ruins of an old ship that had sunk right in the spot where they needed to place the center pier of that bridge. So they brought in some powerful machinery to move it. But it did not budge. And that's when one of the engineers came up with a creative idea. He said, let's allow the tide of the river to lift that old ship up. So they attached some strong cables to that old ruin at the bottom when the tide was low. And they attached the other end of the cables to a barge on the surface. And as the tide began to come in, the barge gradually lifted and pulled that old ship off the riverbed. And then they could tow it out to sea and bury it. God's Holy Spirit can be just like that. Sometimes he enters the situation like a roaring lion pouncing on the prey, but there are other times, many times, when his Holy Spirit quietly, gently, and slowly, and steadily pulls you up like that tide, but with enough power that you can get the job done. He just needs sometimes for you to take your hands off of it and allow him to show you his strength. Hallelujah. The second word I chose is verse 2. The Lord is my rock. Now, that is a great symbol of strength, isn't it? But, you know, it's more. It just shouts of stability. And David needed stability in things he was facing. He certainly knew all about placing his trust in safe places among the rocks in Israel. When he was running away from Saul, who was trying to kill him, when he was fleeing the Philistines, even when he was running away from his own son Absalom, who was also trying to kill him, David would hide among the huge rocks that you can find in many of the cliffs in Palestine. Safe places. In the wisdom literature in the Bible, we read this in Proverbs 30, verse 26, and this is from the English Standard Version. It says there, "The rock badgers are a people, not mighty, yet they make their homes in the cliffs." Rock badgers. I had no idea what a rock badger is. Maybe you know, but I didn't, so I had to look it up. A rock badger is a small animal, and it looks like a fat guinea pig. Those are my words. I Googled it. Now, according to Solomon, in all his wisdom, he says that we can learn a lot from rock badgers. Why? Because they make their home in the cliffs. They live in the crags among the huge rocks. And if a vulture or an eagle swoops down and tries to take them, they can quickly run into those little tiny holes for safety. And the eagle would have to move that whole mountain to be able to get to them at that point. However, if the rock badger were to wander off into the field or into the forest, they would become very, very vulnerable, extremely vulnerable to a wolf or to a lion or some other predator. Whenever they wander away from the rock, they become dead meat. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. God is your strength. He is your rock. And the next one is, he is your fortress. Now that's easy for us to envision, all the power and the strength of a fortress. It's there to protect you. It's there for security. And to think of God as my fortress really makes me want to sing, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." He is. He is your fortress. Your fortress. There's nothing more that you would want than to be in the strong arms of Almighty God when the devil tries to attack you. Right? But there's another side to this. And here's what I mean. A father wanted to teach his young son how to swim. So he took him into the pool. He was just a small tyke. The dad had to hold his arms up even at the most shallow end of the pool, or the child would have drowned. And then the father picked him up in his arms and he took a step away, then another step, and slowly carried his child into deeper and deeper parts of the pool. And as he did, he could sense the child getting more and more tense and rigid. And he began to realize that fear was creeping in, and he didn't want his son to be afraid of the water. And so he said to his son, "Don't worry, son. I'll protect you. You'll be fine." Now, each and every one of us experiences times in our lives when we are over our heads with troubles. Everything seems out of control. The truth is, we were never in control. We were always being held up by our Heavenly Father. He is never out of His depth. And like a mighty fortress, He protects you even when He gently carries you in His arms. Hallelujah. David said, "The Lord is my rock. He is my fortress, and He is my deliverer." Deliverer. We could be here for weeks talking about the concept of God being our deliverer. Just think about everything we could say about God sending His only Son, Jesus Christ, to be your deliverer, your rescuer from Satan. Well, instead, let's think about this. Oftentimes, many of us would prefer not to think of God as our deliverer, but instead to think of Him as our preventer. We want Him to prevent bad things from happening to us. That, of course, is not the way it works, is it? When bad things happen, you need to be rescued. How thankful are you that you have a deliverer? And here's the next three words. God is your shield, the horn of your salvation, and your stronghold. Now, just about all of the words that David chooses in this psalm to describe God have a military feel to them. I wish I had a snare drum to play in the background. Have a military feel about them. And these words are no different. Shield, horn, stronghold. They all speak of protection. But you know what? In order for us to see God's protection in our lives, we need to remember that we will engage with the enemy. And the enemy's desire is to destroy us, to destroy everything that relates to Jesus Christ. David gives us three powerful words: shield, horn, stronghold. Let's talk about all three of those. In terms of the shield, we are not talking about the sheet of metal that covers the whole body like the knights would carry in medieval times. The shield that David understood in his time was called a buckler. It was a rather small, round shield that was held in the left hand, and its purpose was primarily to protect the right hand. Now, we already know that the right hand is very symbolic in the Bible. It primarily relates to strength and authority. Listen, for instance, to Isaiah 41, verse 13. "For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. I will help you." And this is Psalm 16, 8. "I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken." All of that is what David meant, and all of that is what it means to you as well. God is your shield. Now, what about the word horn? And that's another metaphorical word that's found throughout the Bible. For instance, think about horned animals, how they would fight each other with their antlers. Powerful. Think about the biblical trumpet, the ram's horn, the shofar, and all the references the stories that we have about the shofar. In various places in the Bible, the word horn stands for honor, power, dominion, and glory. Doesn't that sound familiar somehow? For instance, this is what John heard the angels say around the throne of God in Revelation 7:12. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And then don't forget what Zechariah the priest said when he held the infant baby Jesus in his arms. In Luke 1:69, he said, God has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. God is your shield. God is your horn. And the third word is, he is your stronghold. Now, if you've ever toured Europe or the Middle East and other parts of the world, you have seen tall towers built on walls to protect cities, built on mountains, built on huge rocks. They were the strongholds, places for safety above the reach of the enemy. And that is our God. That is our God. You can trust him for your safety, even when the devil prowls around you and tries to attack you. Oh, we could go on and on. David did for 50 verses. And his life is filled with testimony that everything he is saying in this psalm about God is true. The question is, how does that relate to you? Do you love the Lord and respect the Lord as your strength, your rock, your fortress, your deliverer, your shield, your horn, your stronghold, and more? When the cords of death, to use the biblical words, when the cords of death entangle you, when the torrents of destruction overwhelm you, do you call upon the Lord who is worthy of praise and know that he is your deliverer? I think I can probably read your minds. I can almost hear you shouting, yes, I do. He is my refuge. But let me ask you this. Do you call on him with that kind of praise and respect and honor when everything is going smoothly? When you are just fine, thank you very much. Do you still praise and worship the one who holds you in the palms of his hands? Considering the militaristic themes of this psalm, let's remember this old saying. Lots of soldiers find the Lord when they are in the trenches. And that's wonderful. But brothers and sisters, don't wait until you're in the trenches of life. God's strength and salvation are yours all the time, including when you are just fine. Thank you very much. So, join King David in singing the words at the end of this Psalm 18, even from the trenches. In verse 46, the Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, my Savior. I will praise you among the nations, O Lord. I will sing praises to your name. Let it be so. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, we do praise you and we thank you. And may we live as victors under the power of your strength, Almighty God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.